And what are you asking for? Bennett glanced toward the sky as they walked. Snow. Snow? More cold? Veto! He huffed. It's Christmas. Don't you want a white Christmas? She shrugged. I've never had one before. I don't know why I'd start now. Her family was never the sort to head to Aspen for Christmas. Her mother hated the cold as much as she did. Well, I've missed snow out in the West Coast. Just doesn't feel like Christmas without it. Australians have Christmas without snow every year. Okay, fine, but it doesn't feel like Christmas for me. I'm not Australian, you might have noticed.
So you're asking Santa for snow?
Among other things. She glanced at him from the corner of her eye.
Like?
Can't tell you, or it won't come true.
I don't think that's how it works. That's only for birthday wishes.
Really? I don't know. Might be different down south. She laughed.
You just don't want to tell me.
They'd reached Santa's house, and the line was long and filled with crying children. Two elves were handing out candy canes and trying in vain to keep the line somewhat orderly. The little girl in front of them had laid down in the cold dirt, wearing her full Christmas outfit, frilly skirt and all, in some sort of peaceful protest. Her mother just gave them an exhausted smile when they got in line.
Correct. I don't want to tell you, Bennett said, picking up their conversation.
Is it more weird books?
He shook his head, his smile growing.
Some kind of Boy Scout badge?
Okay, first of all, I told you I was never a Boy Scout. And secondly, you have to earn those. You can't just ask for them.
For someone who is never a Boy Scout, you sure know a lot about them, she muttered, and Bennett chuckled. New tools?
I have plenty of tools, and why wouldn't I want to tell you that? Because then I would live in fear that you would come back and try to fix more things. I forgot how traumatic that was for you.
Truly.
She pushed away the memory of Bennett, crouched next to her radiator, sleeves rolled up, forearms flexing. She would not find this man attractive. She could not.
A new puppy?
Oh, as much as I would love one, I think I'm at my max with three. Kira huffed.
I give up.
He held her gaze for a second too long, and heat rushed to Kira's face.
I guess you'll have to wait and see if I get it.
I guess so. Why was her voice so breathy? Why was he looking at her like she was what he wanted?
The mother in front of them lifted her still-prone daughter and moved her a few feet forward and then placed her back in the dirt. The little girl smiled up at her with the face of an angel. Kids were terrifying.
So what are you asking Santa for? Bennett asked as they shuffled forward, the moment broken.
Weekend afternoons at the farm from now until Christmas. Hopefully, he doesn't have other gigs that pay better. Can't offer him much.
An elf walked past and handed them each a candy cane.
Thanks, Kira said, quickly unwrapping hers and sucking it into her mouth. Sweet and sticky.
She sighed a little. Maybe Christmas wasn't all bad.
When she glanced back at Bennett, his gaze was fixed on her mouth and the candy cane she was sliding in and out between her lips.
Whoops! She slid it out with a distinct pop, and Bennett blinked like he was emerging from a trance.
He cleared his throat. What are you asking for yourself?
For myself?
Kira's laugh came out harsher than she meant it to. I've had plenty my whole life, too much, really. So I'll just settle for the essentials this year. Heat? Some new windows would be nice. Maybe fix that leaky... She trailed off, realizing she was just listing all the shit that was wrong with her house. She was probably triggering all the fix-it impulses in Bennett's brain. But to his credit, and Kira's surprise, he just nodded.
And I wouldn't be mad if he threw in some cozy socks. Can never have too many of those, she added, and Bennett smiled.
They were nearly at Santa's candy-covered house now, and the little girl ahead of them was standing in front of him, listing all her wishes out on her fingers, one by one. The back of her dress was streaked with dirt, but even Kira had to admit that she still looked cute as she stood beside Santa for her picture. And then it was their turn. An elf ushered them into the small house and over to Santa's giant chair. He was a pretty convincing Santa. Round belly, rosy cheeks, even his white beard was real.
He would do.
Hello, Santa.
Ho, ho, ho! And what would you like for Christmas, young lady?
Okay, apparently we're staying in character. Right. Well, I own the Christmas tree farm, and we've just reopened, and I was hoping to hire you, actually.
The old man chuckled, holding his belly, and Kara couldn't really remember how she'd gone from her life of parties and blowing her parents' money to negotiating with a man who thought he was Santa in a house decorated with fake candy.
Oh, wait, reckless decisions about real estate.
Here's my card, Santa said, pulling a business card with holly around the edges from his pocket. Give the office a call, and I'm sure we can work something out. He smiled.
Now, what do you two want for Christmas? He asked, raising his big bushy brows at her and Bennett. Perhaps some jewelry?
Kara just rolled her eyes and pointed to Bennett.
I'll take a pair of socks, but this guy wants snow.
Ho, ho, ho. That's a tall order, but I'll do my best.
Thanks, Santa, Bennett said, as they left the gingerbread cottage. As much as Kara hated being cold, it was nice to be out of the stuffy house. It smelled like wet wool and children in there.
Oh, you didn't get to ask Santa for your other gift, she teased as they walked away.
That's okay. I decided I don't really need Santa's help with it.
Really?
His arm brushed against hers as they walked.
Yeah, I should probably do it on my own.
She glanced at him from the corner of her eye, and a secret smile played around his lips. They paused when they got to the edge of the square, back to the craft booths.
Too kinky, huh?
He laughed. Yeah, that's it. Too kinky for Santa. He stepped closer. His warm body obviously exerted too much gravitational pull on her, because she stepped closer, too.
Well, I hope you get what you want, she whispered.
The corner of Bennett's lips tipped up in a smile.
Me too, he said.
Chapter 8
A distant buzzing pulled Kara from her nest of blankets. It was dark and freezing in the room she was currently using as a bedroom. She tried all three at this point, and this one won out as just slightly warmer than the others. The buzzing persisted.
What the hell time was it?
She stuck her hand out into the icy room and patted around on her bedside table until she felt her phone. She grabbed it and pulled it under the blankets. 6 a.m., and Chloe was calling.
6 hours ahead, Chloe,
she groaned into the phone, not bothering with a greeting.
How many times do I have to tell you, you are 6 hours ahead of me?
Her twin winced, her pretty face filling the screen.
Oops, sorry, Kiki, I forgot. It's okay, she said, rolling onto her back. Where are you? Some kind of tent?
Chloe wrinkled her nose, like their mother did, but on Chloe, it came across as much less judgmental.
I'm under my blankets. I thought you got the heat fixed.
I did. Well, sort of fixed.
It's just cold as hell here.
Here, too, her sister said, reminding Kara of how far apart they were, a literal ocean away.
I hate it, but Eric says I'll get used to it.
Right. And how is Eric?
She asked, swallowing every ounce of snarkiness she wanted to put into that question. Kara had met the man exactly once in person, and it was at the wedding. But she knew everything she needed to know about him. He'd taken her sister away, and so, very rationally, she hated him.
He's good. Oh, we looked at the cutest apartment the other day. You would have loved it. It gets beautiful light in the afternoon.
Sounds perfect. Send me pics.
I will.
Kara waited for her sister to go on, but Chloe just studied her through the phone, which was unfair, really. Of course she looked like a mess. She'd been asleep. Her hair was more nest than hair right now, her bangs sticking up at odd angles. She'd only gotten them in the first place to look different from Chloe. She was tired of people's disappointment when she'd revealed which twin she really was, like she'd tricked them into thinking she was the better one.
You're staring at me, Chloe. I just miss you.
Kara swallowed the hot lump of emotion that insisted on forming in her throat whenever she talked to her sister. It wasn't the same, talking to her this way. It wasn't the same as sitting side by side on their couch, their legs tangled together as they ate ice cream and debriefed on their latest date or horrible day at work or the last passive-aggressive comment their mother had made.
"I miss you, too. Of course I do, Chloe. But you have that dreamy new husband and that amazing European adventure you've always wanted. Don't waste it missing me."
Her sister sniffed and wiped her eyes. As much as Kira privately ranted about how her sister had betrayed and abandoned her, she would never, ever in a million years do anything to dim Chloe's happiness. At least, not anymore. She was determined not to interfere with Chloe's happiness ever again.
"But are you okay there?" Chloe asked, eyes still glossy with unshed tears. "I'm worried about you."
"I'm fine. I'm great, actually. The farm is open, and I'm sure we'll be mobbed today after my announcement last night. Trust me, these people love Christmas." She pushed the hair from her face and just kept on lying. "I'm doing what I always wanted. I've got my own homestead here and this beautiful old house. Once I get everything set up, it's going to be gorgeous, and then you can come visit me."
Had they been in the same room, had she not been in the dark, Chloe would have called her on her bullshit. But apparently, the distance really messed with her sister's lie-detecting abilities.
"I just can't believe you spent all your money on it."
"It's an investment, Chloe. Isn't that what you and Dad were always yammering on about?"
"I meant like a Roth IRA, not a farm."
Kira shrugged, like this run-down farm and the stock market were totally equivalent investments.
"It's what I wanted."
Or at least what she thought she wanted when she was stress-scrolling through social media in the wee hours of the morning. And that was basically the same thing, right?
"This is a much bigger deal than the time you bought a racehorse," Chloe went on. "I rescued that horse, thank you very much. Or the time you booked the country club for that animal shelter fundraiser and then filled it with stray dogs. How was I supposed to get them adopted if they weren't in attendance, Chloe? That just made sense."
Her sister rolled her eyes, but a smile played on her lips. She might have always been the sensible one, but Kira knew deep down Chloe loved her crazy ideas.
"What about the time you brought the guy with the neck tattoos to Mom's Christmas Eve party?"
"Okay, first of all, that was not a reckless plan. That was a very thought-out plan to ensure I would never have to attend the party again. And Jim was a perfect gentleman."
"He got drunk and peed in one of Mom's house plants. He was a perfect gentleman until that moment."
She'd also found out the next morning that he was breaking the parameters of his parole by leaving town to attend the party, but her sister didn't need that little bit of added information right now. Chloe frowned.
"Look, Chloe, this isn't about my questionable choices in men or about getting under Mom's skin, and it's, surprisingly, not even about my quest to end horse racing forever. I just needed to get away, start over, that's all."
"You could have stayed in Georgia. There are farms there, too, you know."
Kira sighed. "If I'd stayed in Georgia, I would have been too tempted to crawl back home if things didn't work out." Chloe's frown deepened. To save her from wrinkles, and because Kira hated seeing her sister upset, she went on sugarcoating the truth.
"But it is going to work. It's working out great, actually."
She forced a smile.
"I could lend you some money."
"No. Kiki, just listen. No. No way. You're not lending me anything."
"I am fine.
It was my decision to use my half of the money on this. You save yours for all those little Danish babies you're going to have."
Chloe's nose crinkled again, but Kira didn't miss the little spark that appeared in her twin's eyes at the mention of babies. God, her sister really was in deep.
"Okay, but you have to tell me if you need help. I cannot have you so far away from me and know that you are struggling."
"Ha!" Kira's fake laugh was slightly unhinged. "Struggling? Chloe, I am thriving over here, I promise."
Chloe looked skeptical, but Kira just kept smiling until her sister moved on.
"Have you made any friends yet?" she asked.
"Friends? Did dogs and reindeer count?"
"Oh, yeah, plenty of friends.
Kiki."
Shoot, maybe Chloe could still detect some lies.
"I haven't had time for friends yet.
I just need to get through the holidays, and then I'll have time to hang out with people. People, but not Bennett, because he'd be gone by then. And that absolutely should not bother her. It didn't bother her at all. Why was that guy and his warm sweaters and sweet smile even popping into her head right now? It probably had something to do with the very detailed dream she'd been having involving her, Bennett, Santa's sleigh, some very provocative candy canes, and a naughty and nice list they seemed to be working their way through. Dear God, what was wrong with her? She shook her head. It was way too early in the morning for all this subterfuge. She needed at least another 2 hours of sleep, preferably dreamless, and a pot of coffee before she had to be greeting customers. I should really go. Big day today. Kira's forced cheerfulness had Chloe raising her eyebrows, but Kira didn't have the energy to do any more convincing. Okay. Love you, Kiki. Love you too, Chloe. She hung up before she could get emotional. She had a Christmas tree farm to open today, hopefully one with actual customers, and she didn't want puffy eyes for her big day. Opening day! Iris chirped beside her, clapping her hands. This is exciting. Her strawberry blonde hair was done up in a braided wreath around her head today, and she looked like she belonged in some sort of Nordic Christmas advertisement. It was the exact vibe Kira wanted, but vibes didn't matter if she didn't have customers. Very exciting, as long as people actually show up. Of course they'll show up, Iris said. I know you're new here, but trust me, Dream Harbor shows up for anything resembling a festival, grand opening, carnival, or fundraiser. You should see the turnout for town meetings. Kira huffed. I have, and it's weird. She'd attended one back in the fall to convince the mayor and the residents that she had no intention of reopening, and, one failing boiler later, here she was. Iris laughed, leaning back in her rocking chair. They were sitting on the little porch in front of the customer service cabin, waiting for their first customers to arrive, or praying they would arrive in Kira's case. She'd put all her eggs in this one very precarious basket, and she really needed it to work. The panic of not having money was real, and she'd been so undeservedly lucky to have never felt it before. I found these, Kira said, changing the subject to ease her anxiety about the day. She held out the two old letters and the list of possessions Bennett had found. What do you think they're all about? Iris took the papers and laid them on her lap. Kira had finally read the letters, hoping they'd help make sense of the strange list of items. One had been a letter from what seemed a distant relative of his to Edwin, the last owner of the farm, requesting to come visit the farm so he could get the lay of the land. And the other was a copy of Edwin's revised will from his lawyer. Looks like old Edwin was getting his estate in order before he died. Iris shrugged. Don't you think the list of stuff is kind of odd? He was kind of odd. The house had a lot of old furniture in it when I moved in, but I certainly didn't find any Tiffany lamps. And what do you think happened to Ellie's baubles? They were probably buried with her, Iris mumbled. What? Iris smiled innocently. I imagined his wife was buried wearing her best jewelry, right? Or they gave them to a family member. Yeah, I guess. I haven't checked the attic, though. Too creepy. Iris laughed. I don't blame you. When we were cleaning out my great-aunt's attic, we found an entire family of raccoons living in her luggage collection. Iris shivered at the memory. Aw, cute. Not cute. The little garbage monsters had made a huge mess. Maybe you're right. I'll steer clear of the attic for now. They sat in companionable silence, rocking in their chairs and sipping their tea, while Kira thought about Edwin and his wife and what else he might have left behind in his old house. I've never worked on a farm, Iris said after a while. I like it. Kira knew this little fact about her employee, and she'd hired the woman anyway, based almost entirely on the positive energy Iris emanated. She figured it was as good a reason as any to hire someone. You've had a lot of jobs? She asked now, needing a distraction from staring down the empty parking lot. Iris nodded. Bank teller, library clerk, waitress, of course, who hasn't done that to make some extra cash? Kira decided not to say she'd never needed extra cash until this very moment.
crafts coordinator at the retirement home, dog walker, grocery store cashier. Iris went on, counting each job on her fingers. She was quickly running out. And now I teach yoga and aquatic aerobics to seniors.
Aquatic aerobics to seniors?
Yeah, Iris beamed. It's very fun. Kira was having a hard time imagining that jumping around in a pool with old folks would be fun, but Iris seemed so enthusiastic about it, she just smiled.
I'll do pretty much anything, except kids. I don't do kids.
Why not?
Iris stared at her like the answer was obvious.
Kids are terrifying.
Right, of course.
Way too unpredictable.
Sure.
Kira bit down on a smile. She had a feeling Iris was pretty unpredictable, too, with her habit of job-hopping, but she didn't mention that either. Instead, she teased her favorite employee.
There might be some kids here, Iris. Try not to panic.
Iris laughed, spraying lukewarm tea from her mouth, and Kira laughed, too.
I'll try to stay calm, Iris said, wiping the tea off her boots.
So, have you always wanted to own a Christmas tree farm?
Not really.
She still wasn't convinced she wanted to own one right now.
Oh. Do you have family in Dream Harbor?
Nope.
Huh. So you just...
Iris's brow wrinkled in confusion, like she couldn't quite figure out how Kira ended up here.
Well, join the club, Iris.
I decided I couldn't be at home anymore without my twin sister, wasting my life away being simultaneously spoiled and stifled by my parents. So I scoured real estate listings until I found this place, bought it without really knowing it was a Christmas tree farm, and then had to reopen it to make money to fix up the incredibly old house that came with the property. Yep, that's exactly what I did.
Iris stared at her wide-eyed, and then a big grin broke out across her face.
That's awesome.
It is?
Of course it is. You just went for it.
I think that's fantastic.
Iris gazed at her with a dreamy expression, as if leaving behind your whole life to buy a dilapidated farmhouse was the coolest thing ever.
Maybe it sort of was.
Warmth spread through Kira's body. Somebody thought this was a fantastic idea. And it felt good. Really good. Almost as good as looking up and seeing three cars pulling into the parking lot.
Customers!
She leapt up from her chair, and Iris did too.
Let's do this, Iris said, giving Kira a quick salute before heading to her station in the cabin.
They decided that Kira would make herself available to greet customers and direct them around the farm, and Iris would be in the cabin to take payments and hand out saws. Kira had hired several large college guys to help people heft trees onto their cars. The two men she'd hired for the morning shift were drinking coffee and waiting to be needed. The hot cocoa was made, the Christmas music was playing over the speakers, and the twinkle lights were twinkling. She was ready.
Iris was right. This was exciting.
Hi, ladies. Welcome.
She greeted the first group of older women as they approached, all bundled up in scarves and hats.
Hello, dear.
One of the women gave her a friendly smile, but the other two were too busy looking around.
Hi, Carol. Hi, Janet. Marissa.
Iris called from the window of the cabin.
Oh, there she is. Hello, Iris.
The three women hustled up the steps to the cabin, bypassing Kira entirely. She had to laugh. Of course, Iris was an aerobics instructor celebrity.
We had to come see you at your new job.
Thanks, Janet. That's sweet of you. I hope you're all here for a tree, too.
Of course we are,
the shortest of the three said with a laugh.
We left the husbands at home so we can pick the biggest ones.
Perfect, said Iris, passing a saw for the women through the window. Have fun, ladies.
Will we see you on Sunday? Carol asked.
I wouldn't miss it.
The women all seemed to breathe a sigh of relief.
We were worried you were leaving us for this new gig.
Never. I have plenty of time to do both.
Iris smiled, and Kara wondered where she got all her energy.
Good, because the woman we had before you was just awful. No sense of humor.
Iris frowned. Did you push her in the pool, Marissa? Marissa didn't even bother to look contrite.
She was asking for it.
The three women burst out laughing, and Kira made a mental note not to cross this crew.
They took their saw and waved goodbye to Iris, smiling at Kira as they went.
"Do you need any help finding anything?" she asked, now even more pleased with her decision to hire Iris, but also feeling like she should do something for her customers.
"No, dear, we've been coming here for years." Carol stopped and patted her shoulder. "We are so glad you reopened the farm. A real piece of history here. We didn't know if anyone would buy it after all those rumors about the former owner."
"The what? What rumors?"
"Come on, Carol, we have trees to find,"
Janet called, already hiking down the closest trail.
"Oh, it's nothing to worry about, dear," Carol assured her as she followed her friends. "I'm sure it's not true."
Rumors about the former owner? What was she talking about? Carol was about to ask Iris why she hadn't mentioned any rumors when a family with three very excited kids came up asking about where to find a blue spruce, and then a couple who had driven over an hour to get here wanted to fit several trees onto their compact car, and then a family with a new baby who were looking for the perfect first Christmas picture spot wanted her opinion. By the time Kira had handled all of that, she'd forgotten the rumor of rumors completely. Iris was right about another thing. Dream Harbor showed up. By the time she could sneak in a quick lunch break in the cabin, Kira was pretty sure the entire town had stopped by to pick out a tree. It was a Christmas miracle. Families were wandering between the trees in their matching Christmas sweaters. Kids were squealing with delight as the trees fell. Old couples were sipping cocoa while their trees were secured to their cars. The whole scene was like something out of a dream. A new dream. A dream in which Kira ran a successful farm and didn't freeze to death. She liked this dream. Maybe everything she'd told Chloe this morning was coming true. Maybe she was thriving here. Or she could, anyway. This reckless idea might actually work out.
Chapter 9. Kira's reopening announcement at the tree lighting had clearly paid off. When Bennett pulled up at the farm with Jeannie and Logan, the place was packed. He was riding shotgun in Logan's truck, and Jeannie stuck her head up from the back seat to talk to them.
"Wow, it looks great."
"Crowded," Logan grumbled.
"It's festive," Jeannie said.
"Oh, I love that she strung up all the lights, and look how cute that little cabin is."
Bennett had to admit, it all looked really nice. Even the cabin looked reasonably safe. Kira had set up a rocking chair on the front porch and a wreath on the door, so it looked more like a house than a customer service booth.
"That's where we get the saws," he told the others.
"No need, brought my own," Logan said, pulling the truck in between two cars that already had trees tied to their roofs.
"Of course you did." Jeannie rolled her eyes, but her adoring smile made it pretty damn obvious how she felt about her fiancé.
Bennett hopped out of the truck as soon as they were parked. Jeannie's friends, Hazel and Noah, were also meeting them today, so they could all pick out trees together. It should be a fun day, but Bennett would be lying if he said he was scanning the crowd for Jeannie's friends. There was really only one person he was looking for.
"Where should we start?" Logan asked, coming up beside him.
"We have to wait for everyone to get here," Jeannie said. "Ooh, but let's get cocoa while we wait."
"You own a cafe. Does a hot beverage really excite you that much?"
Bennett asked with a laugh as they walked toward the cabin.
"Of course," she nudged him. "Isn't this fun? Aren't you glad you came to stay?"
"Yeah, definitely."
Bennett's words trailed off as he got a glimpse of Kira striding across the parking lot. She was heading right toward him.
"Definitely glad he came."
The woman walking his way was a far cry from the one he'd met on his first day here. For one, she wasn't wrapped in bedding. She was sporting her new coat with faux fur-lined boots to match, her long legs and skin-tight jeans. Her cheeks were pink from the cool air, her dark bangs brushing across her forehead as she moved. And she moved, well, she moved like she owned the place. But the biggest difference was the smile. It transformed her entire face. It transformed the air around her, the very atoms in the air between them. It transformed him. Holy shit. Kira was gorgeous.
Bennett, hi.
Her greeting was sweet and friendly and completely unexpected. Who was this woman? He didn't realize he was just staring at her in silence until Logan clapped him on the back. Good luck, Ben, he said with a chuckle, as he and Jeannie continued on their quest for hot cocoa. His sister looked back at him over her shoulder, giving him an enthusiastic thumbs up and a knowing smile, but Logan tugged her along.
Hi,
he managed to finally choke out.
Hi, she said again, her smile downshifting into something slightly less spectacular, but better, because this one was just for him.
How are things going?
Amazing. She breathed like she almost couldn't believe it. We've had customers from all over. One family drove an hour to get here because they wanted a real New England Christmas experience. Can you believe that?
Bennett was grinning now, too.
Sure. This place is quintessential Christmas.
And it really was. All her social media scrolling had apparently given Kira a real eye for how to sell people an experience, a total Christmas vibe. Folksy Christmas music played over the speakers as families and couples strolled through the rows of trees. Between the twinkle lights and rustic signs, there was no shortage of photo ops, and Kira had even filled the back of a rusted-out pickup truck with holly branches, pine boughs, and ivy. She hung a giant red bow in the front, turning trash into something beautiful.
Who was this woman?
He wanted to know everything. Bennett crossed snow off his mental Christmas list. There was only one thing on it now, and that was more time with Kira.
So, are you here for your free tree? She asked.
Oh, I'll pay for it.
No way. I owe you for your heating services.
Ben laughed. I didn't really do anything.
You did?
Kira laughed, a real laugh, and the sound nearly brought Bennett to his knees.
Well, you tried anyway.
You already bought me some of those funny little waffles.
That wasn't enough. You're getting a free tree now. Stop arguing.
Kira's mouth was set in a stubborn line, and Bennett smiled.
But just you, not your whole family or whoever you brought with you.
Kira gestured to where Jeannie and Logan had been joined by Noah and Hazel. Bennett laughed.
Okay, got it. Just one free tree.
Kira nodded, that private smile still playing around her lips. And Bennett suddenly didn't want to pick out a tree. He wanted to drag Kira back to the house and personally warm her up with his lips and his hands and his body. He cleared his throat.
Come on, I'll introduce you.
He led the way to his sister before his thoughts could take any more distracting turns. Kira, this is my sister Jeannie and her fiancé Logan and their friends, Noah and Hazel. Everyone, this is Kira, owner of the Christmas Tree Farm.
Hi, everyone, Kira said with a little wave. Thanks for coming out.
Of course.
Jeannie looked like she was itching to hug the woman, but Bennett sent her a warning look, and she stayed put.
It's so beautiful. You did a great job.
It really is, said Hazel. I used to come here with my parents, but it had gotten pretty run down at that time. You really revived it.
Thanks.
Kira's cheeks flushed a deeper pink, and Bennett had to look away. He'd known she was beautiful before, but today it was blinding, like he'd been wearing sunglasses, and without them, he was about to drive off the damn road.
So, where should we start? Noah asked, rubbing his hands together. I'm ready to chop down a tree.
You don't chop it, you saw it, Logan corrected.
Right, saw. Either way, I'm ready.
The fisherman grinned, and Hazel leaned into him, her head resting on his shoulder. There was no way Bennett could spend too much time with this foursome without feeling like a lonely and pathetic fifth wheel. Who was he kidding that he was swearing off women? During the holidays? That was the worst time to be alone. People wrote songs about it.
The Douglas firs are down this row, Kira said, pointing straight ahead. Blue spruces are to the left. But if you prefer a Fraser fir, those are a bit of a further walk. You need to head up the hill.
A Fraser for sure, Logan said.
You just want to make us walk farther, Hazel argued. These close ones look fine.
I just want one that smells good, Jeannie added.
They all smell the same, Hazel said.
Noah shook his head and laughed. Just let me cut something down. Bennett tuned out the rest of the tree argument and turned back to Kira. I'm really happy it's working out.
Thanks. Me too.
Hey, Kira?
Iris peeked her head out of the cabin window.
We're out of cocoa again. Okay, be right there.
She looked apologetic when she faced him. Sorry that I can't help you pick out your perfect tree.
That's all right. You're busy, which is a good thing.
She nodded, but maybe she was hesitant to go. Maybe she wanted more time with him, too.
A very good thing.
She traced an arc in the dirt with the toe of her boot. He wanted to say more. He wanted to tell her he wanted to see her again, alone, just the two of them. He wanted to suggest they spend the month together, naked. He wanted to propose all sorts of crazy and impulsive and objectively bad ideas to her. He wanted to confess that all he wanted for Christmas was her. But they were in the middle of a crowded parking lot, and she was working, and they just met a week ago, and he was leaving in a month. And up until 5 minutes ago, he was fairly sure she hated him. And this wasn't a Christmas movie or a sappy holiday song. This was real life, and in real life, people didn't lay out all their romantically misguided thoughts in the middle of a Christmas tree farm, even if it was, objectively, the cutest Christmas tree farm on the planet. So, he didn't say any of that. But he was sure he'd spend the rest of his time in Dream Harbor thinking about it.
I should take care of that, Kira said, pointing to the cabin and the empty cocoa carafe inside it.
Right, of course.
But make sure you say goodbye before you leave, and I'll tell Iris your tree is on the house.
She gave him one last smile before leaving him with his sister and her friends, still arguing about spruces versus firs. Bennett watched her walk away, knowing that any rational reasons he had for not pursuing Kira were as futile as this Christmas tree argument. In the end, he wanted her, and if there was an inkling of a chance that she wanted him, too, he was damn well going to take it. Chapter 10. Things had been going so well, too well, and now was all about to fall epically apart, and it was only day one. Damn it, damn it, damn it. Kira was not going to cry. She was going to handle this like the capable adult that she was, or that she was trying to be, or that she wished she was.
What are we going to do?
Oops, the question came out in a wail. Iris looked at her with concerned eyes. Iris frowned. They were in the customer service cabin together, and Kira was starting to sweat. It was too stuffy in here to still be wearing her coat.
How much weight can you lift?
Kira asked, eyeing her employee. Iris was slight, but maybe she was stronger than she looked.
I'm pretty strong, she said with a smile, clearly game for anything. But then who will man the booth?
Right, good point. Never mind, I'll figure something out. Maybe we should close for the afternoon? Kira peered out the window. The place was packed. Think of the money they would lose if she closed now. No, she couldn't do it, not when things were just taking off.
No, I can make it work.
Kira tried to give her a reassuring smile as she turned and fled the cabin, but she felt like her face was going to crack in half. Things had been going so well. And now her afternoon help had canceled on her. Her two large college men that were hired to lift trees onto people's cars had bailed. And now what the hell was she supposed to do? She couldn't ask customers to do it themselves, could she? They already had to cut their own trees, but surely they wanted help getting them onto their cars. Oh, damn it. The tears were pushing hot against the backs of her eyes. And, of course, right on cue, Bennett and friends came traipsing out of the rows of trees with their own trees slung over shoulders, and one extra large tree lay across the bed of one of the wagons Kira had found in the old barn. She'd really wanted Bennett to see her as capable, and she'd felt so confident this morning, so freaking happy for once. And now it was crumbling down around her, already. And, like a drug-sniffing dog, but for female distress instead of narcotics, Bennett noticed her right away. He was going to come over here and try to fix everything for her, and damn it, if she didn't want to let him. She wanted to lean into him and just let him fix it. Old habits die hard. Instead, She sniffed back her tears and rolled her shoulders back, preparing for battle. Bennett lowered the tree from his shoulder and propped it against the side of the cabin, as the rest of his group went to the window to pay for their trees. Kara ignored how his arms flexed as he did it. "Hey," he said with a frown and a creased brow. He knew something was wrong. What, did this guy have some kind of extrasensory perception?
"Hi!"
Kara tried to sound perky, but it came out more deranged than cheerful.
"How did it go?"
"It went fine." He was still studying her. "What's wrong?"
"Nothing."
"Nothing?"
"Right, nothing. Everything is fine. Great, actually. Really, really good."
His frown deepened. "Then why is that old couple trying to shove their own tree under their car?" Kira's head whipped around to where there was indeed an elderly couple grappling with a giant tree and an SUV that was way too tall for them.
"Shit,"
she whispered, already turning and hustling over to them.
"Let me help you with that,"
she said, plastering her customer service smile back on her face. It was very similar to her attending her mother's party smile. The last thing she needed was to have elderly people crushed by a Christmas tree. Definitely not the vibe she was going for.
"Oh, thank you, dear. We thought we could manage, but we might have picked one that's a bit too big."
The woman smiled at her from under her knit hat.
"I told you it was too big," the old man grumbled. "Should have just gotten a small tree from the grocery store again."
Kira's stomach dropped. Losing customers was almost as bad as killing them.
"No such thing," said Bennett as he strode up behind her. "Can never have too big a Christmas tree, right, Kira?"
He smiled, and before she could stop him, before she could even get her hands on the tree, he was shoving it on top of the car.
"Oh, hell no." She nudged him aside with a hip check. "I'll take it from here, thank you, Bennett."
"Kira, I really don't mind."
She shut him up with a glare. She must have done a pretty good job communicating with her eyes that she was 2 seconds away from strapping him to the roof of the car instead of the tree, because Bennett stepped aside with his hands up in surrender.
"Good.
Perfect. She could do this."
"Right. How exactly was she going to do this?"
She stared at the tree. It was enormous. How the hell had these two gotten it down here in the first place? The man had to be at least 80 years old, and the woman was all of 4 feet tall and maybe 90 pounds soaking wet. The physics didn't make sense, but Kira now had Bennett, the old couple, and several other customers watching her, waiting for her to perform this very unlikely feat of strength.
"Okay, let's get this strapped on, shall we?"
she said, still sounding less chipper and more unhinged than she intended. She took the rope from the man's hands and flung it over the top of the tree. It got about halfway, and then got tangled in the branches.
"Shit. I'm just going to open the doors," she explained with a smile to the man.
She refused to look at Bennett, even though she could feel the barely restrained "I must help you" energy emanating from his direction. She put a foot up on the floor of the back seat and tried to reach the rope, but between the height of the SUV and the tree branches, she couldn't reach it.
"Just a minute,"
she chirped, racing to the other side of the vehicle. Sweat dripped down her back. She climbed up the other side and stretched across the tree. Branches jabbed her in the face, like Christmas was personally assaulting her. How festive. She almost had it.
"Ben, why are you just standing there?"
Jeannie's voice pierced the silence around the car. "Let me get that." A large arm reached past her, grabbed the rope and pulled.
"I told you."
She started to snap at the unwanted helper, but reeled it back in when she saw it wasn't Bennett, but Logan who had grabbed the rope and was now very expertly and efficiently tying the tree to the car.
"Oh."
She stepped down from the car and let him work. Jeannie and Hazel came up beside her. The other guy they'd come with, Noah, had taken it upon himself to help a mom with 2 little kids get her tree tied to the roof of her minivan. The kids were running around his legs cheering. Bennett was helping Logan make sure the gigantic tree was secure and politely fighting off tips from the old couple. Kira blew out a long sigh. Damn it. She'd failed again.
"I can't believe Ben was just standing there watching you struggle," Jeannie said, shaking her head. "That's not like him."
I know it's not, Kira said faintly. I told him not to.
Oh, why?
I wanted to prove I didn't need his help. I'm trying to be independent and all that.
Jeannie huffed. Being independent doesn't mean you don't need help. And besides, she said, gesturing to the men, they love it. Makes them feel all manly and stuff. Hazel laughed. Wow, Jeannie, how very feminist of you. Jeannie scowled at her friend. Oh, please. Logan and I are equal partners, but try and tell me it doesn't do something for you to see Noah with his sleeves rolled up and hefting that big tree up over his head. Look at those forearms.
All three women tipped their heads to the side, pausing a moment to appreciate the sight in front of them. Noah was tying up the tree for the mom, now that the kids were buckled safely in the car. Logan was chatting with the older couple, his muscular frame leaning on their open window. And Bennett had rolled up the sleeves of his flannel shirt and was helping another man carry his tree to his truck. His forearms flexed as he lifted the tree, and Kira was not gonna lie. He looked damn good doing manual labor. She didn't hate it. She shook her head. No, nope, this was not happening. She cleared her throat and broke all three of them out of their daze.
Well, that was very nice of them and all, but I can take it from here.
Oh, really? How do you plan to do that? You clearly don't have anyone here to help with the trees, and you still have 2 hours until you close. Do you plan on putting all the trees on the cars yourself?
Jeannie asked, her hands on her hip.
I will just... We're staying, Hazel announced. Let's get some more rope.
She walked off toward the cabin before Kira could argue. Jeannie just grinned and followed her friend. What the hell just happened?
Cheers to a job well done, Noah said, and they all lifted their compostable paper cups of cocoa in a toast to their hard work tying trees all afternoon.
Cheers, Hazel and Jeannie sang out.
They were all gathered on the little porch in front of the cabin, Logan in the rocking chair, with Noah perched on the rail of the porch beside him. Hazel and Jeannie were huddled together on the steps, keeping warm now that the sun had set. Kara was freezing, but she stood just off the porch in the frozen dirt. Bennett was leaning against the porch on the other side of his sister, and she was still studiously avoiding his gaze. She had been all afternoon. All afternoon, while these people she barely knew helped keep her business afloat. And isn't this exactly what she swore she wasn't going to do? Hadn't she started this whole crazy plan to do something on her own? Something without Chloe's sensible guidance and without her parents' money, other than the money she used to start the whole damn thing, but that was beside the point. Wasn't she here to stop mooching off other people and using them for what they could do for her? She was supposed to be self-sufficient up here on her farm. But she was even further from that goal than she was when she started. 5 people had given up their afternoon for her, and she had absolutely nothing to offer them in return, other than watered-down cocoa and cups that would disintegrate if they didn't drink it fast enough.
I could send over a few of my guys tomorrow, Logan said, interrupting her thoughts. They're always looking for more work in the colder months. They'll help you out. They're reliable.
Oh, thank you. That would be great.
Kira chugged the last of her cocoa, wanting to reject his offer, but really, really needing a way to keep this stupid farm running.
And thanks for helping today, all of you. I appreciate it.
Of course.
Jeannie smiled at her. Her arm was tucked under Hazel's, the two women leaning in toward each other. And a sharp pang of jealousy hit Kira. Did she miss her sister or just any human contact? At this point, she thought it was probably both.
And it was like being one of those holiday rom-coms Hazel likes to watch, Noah said.
We like to watch, she corrected.
Right, we like to watch, he amended with a grin, and Logan huffed a laugh. So, what's the plan for the other 11 months of the year? Logan asked, steering the question back to business.
Kira had learned throughout the afternoon that the man ran a successful produce farm and apple orchard, so she should probably ask for some advice. business advice was different from random help from strangers, she figured. They were associates, fellow farmers. It was different than Bennett trying to swoop in and rescue her, right?
Well, I thought I could focus on more of a general garden center. There's an old greenhouse in the south field, and we could do shrubs and small trees. It was the first time she was saying any of it out loud, mostly because she had literally no one to say it out loud to, but also because she was nervous and didn't know if any of it was a good idea. But Logan was nodding, so that was probably a good sign.
Sure, that could work.
I'm going to get you in touch with my agricultural engineer. He'll help you get set up.
Agricultural engineer?
Yeah, name's Gordon. Give me your number. I'll send you his information.
Okay.
She rattled off her number. She wondered what the hell an agricultural engineer was and how much they cost and why the hell running a farm was a lot harder than just planting some seeds.
What about your pickles? Bennett asked, speaking for the first time since they'd stopped working, forcing her to finally look at him.
Shit. He looked good. In the soft glow of the Christmas lights, he looked like a damn holiday card come to life. His dark hair was mussed from an afternoon of working, and his puffy vest was streaked with dirt and pine needles, but his cheeks were ruddy from the cold, and his eyes bright and teasing. Frankly, it was rude to look that good when she knew she was a wreck from the afternoon of running around in a panic, that fake customer service smile plastered to her face.
It's possible the internet lied to me.
His perfect mouth tipped up in the corner.
What pickles? Jeannie asked, forcing Kira to tear her gaze away from Bennett's mouth.
That stupid, perfect mouth.
I just thought things would be different when I got here.
She shrugged like it didn't matter, like she hadn't been completely wrong and delusional about setting up her own little homestead. That she thought she could be self-sufficient and not need things, like actual money, to fix radiators and windows. That she'd lived her entire life in an absurd, sheltered reality, where anything broken was fixed for her. When her gaze flicked back to Bennett, he was watching her again. Something was different about the way he was looking at her now. Something decidedly less wholesome was lurking in his eyes. Had it been there all along and she just missed it? Or had something shifted between them? Despite the cold evening, heat flared in her cheeks.
You thought things would be more pickly?
Noah asked, pulling her attention from Bennett again. Kira laughed, despite the feeling that her world was falling apart around her.
Yeah, much more pickly. I didn't plan on setting up a business. I kind of thought I was coming here to go off the grid.
We can plant cucumbers in the spring, Hazel told her with a smile. And Kira's heart hurt at how kind they were all being.
Then you can make all the pickles you want.
Right. Kira cleared her throat. She was not going to cry over pickles.
Thanks. That would be great.
Her gaze snagged on Bennett's again. He dipped his head in a nod, but didn't take his eyes off her. Kira swallowed hard.
Was it possible that Bennett wasn't quite as nice as she thought he was?
Suddenly this damn coat was too warm.
We should probably get going, Logan said, standing from the rocking chair.
He reached out a hand and pulled Jeannie to her feet.
Let's go, Hayes. Those Christmas movies aren't going to watch themselves, Noah said, hopping down from his perch.
Hazel stood from the step, and Noah hoisted her over his shoulder. She shrieked.
See? Jeannie said with a giggle. Feeling all manly?
Noah, put me down.
Don't worry. I won't strap you to the roof, he teased. Bye, everyone.
He carted Hazel across the parking lot before sliding her down his body and placing her gently on the ground near his car. As Noah's head lowered to Hazel's, Kira turned back to Jeannie and Logan, not wanting to intrude on their moment.
Call me if you need anything else, Logan said.
Thanks, I will. See you later, Kira. No, make sure you come into the cafe sometime. Oh, and Annie wanted me to mention that you should call her. She'd love to set something up to sell gingerbread cookies up here.
Kira winced a little, remembering the business card that was tucked into the free cookies George had dropped off a week ago. She was supposed to call the baker, but time had gotten away from her. Oh, that would be great. I will.
Great.
Bye, Kira. Logan grabbed Jeannie's hand, and the two wandered back to his truck, leaving Kira alone with Bennett.
They're my ride, he said, when she dared to look up at him. That new something was still in his eyes. So I should probably go.
Probably.
Panic spiked through her. Was this it? Was she never going to see this man again? And why did that matter? Her mind was racing, grappling for reasons to make him come back, for reasons to see him again, anything. A leaky roof, a creaky floor, a drafty window. Technically, she had all of those. Would he come if she asked him to? At some point, he'd stepped closer, and she fought the insane urge to lean into him. Get a grip, Kira.
I'm staying above the Pumpkin Spice Cafe, he said. If you take Jeannie up on her offer, maybe we'll run into each other.
He was so close now that his words brushed against her cheek.
Yes.
Her voice was a breathy whisper. What the hell was wrong with her? But it had been so long since she had company, since she had naked company, and he was so warm and sweet and... Jesus, was she describing a man or a cinnamon bun? She cleared her throat and stepped back before he could lure her in further. And there was that smile again. She didn't know if she wanted to smack it off his face or kiss it.
Yeah, sure. Maybe we'll run into each other. At the cafe.
The smile grew, like he knew every single filthy thought going through her mind.
See you around, Kira.
See you. And despite herself, she was hoping they would. Bennett Ellis was a complication she didn't need in her life right now. But Kira was not known for doing anything the easy way.
Chapter 11. It had been 2 days since Bennett had seen Kira. 2 days of working on his laptop in the middle of the Pumpkin Spice Cafe, claiming to his sister that he needed a change of scenery. 2 days of getting absolutely nothing done. 2 days of being questioned by every town resident about what he was working on, how long he was staying, his dating history, and his star sign. But today, he had officially given up. He was taking the dogs on their morning walk, and then he was taking his work back up to Jeannie's apartment, where he should have been all along. Kara wasn't coming. And he wasn't going up to the farm again. He'd intruded on her life enough already. Whatever spark he thought he'd felt between them, he'd clearly imagined it. Whatever fantasy he'd cooked up about a Christmas fling was obviously nothing more than a fantasy. It was for the best. He only had a few more weeks in Dream Harbor, and anyway, he was supposed to be breaking his bad dating habits. At least that's what he told himself as he walked through the brisk morning. Main Street was decked out for the holidays. Each shop had a wreath or a wintry display in the window. Even the pet store had gold tinsel strung up on each fish tank and gerbil cage. The sun was barely up, and the snowflake lights on each lamppost were still lit. He had plenty of time to admire them, since the dogs needed to sniff each and every one. "Come on, guys. Heel," he said, tugging on their leashes, though he didn't know why he bothered. They didn't follow commands anyway, only treats, and he'd forgotten to bring some. He'd be out here sniffing lampposts all day at this rate. By the time he got to the bakery, his fingers were numb and he was ready to get back to the cafe and grab a hot coffee from Jeannie before getting to work. "Let's get some breakfast," he said. And Elizabeth's ears perked up at one of the few words she knew, breakfast. But her attention was quickly distracted by Pudgy's whining and Odie yanking on the leash. Once Elizabeth spotted what the other dogs did, there was no hope for Bennett to maintain any kind of control. His loyal companions, man's alleged best friends, dragged him directly in front of the woman he'd just decided to give up on.
"Hello, sweet babies."
Kira's hands were immediately scratching heads and patting wiggling dog bodies, and Bennett couldn't help feel a little jealous of the affection she so easily poured on his dogs.
Were there humans she treated with so much excitement and care? And how, exactly, did he get to be one of them? "Morning," he said, and Kira lifted her gaze from the dogs. When her eyes met his, every lie he'd been telling himself about not wanting her disintegrated completely. And the way she looked at him, he knew he wasn't the only one feeling it, even though she was still clearly fighting it. She glanced away, fidgeting with her mittens.
"Good morning.
Are you headed to the cafe?" he asked.
Yeah, after I meet with Annie about her Christmas cookie idea."
"Yeah, they're amazing. I've already eaten way too many." Her lips quirked up just enough that Bennett felt a flare of heat in his gut.
"Me too," she said. "Annie's like some kind of wizard or something."
He huffed a laugh, and a puff of breath floated in the air between them. Kira was bundled up, tucked deep inside her hood, and he resisted every urge in his body to ask